practice. Where do you hear him? With practice and the anointing. Amen. John chapter 9. I worked this afternoon. I'm telling you, I had a pretty one. I was trying to get a good one, all typed up and pretty. And I sat in my chair and just stared at it. This ain't it. This ain't it. I'm not a sermonizer. I know guys that buy messages and preach them. I've had guys ask if they could have my messages. Preach whatever you want. I'm not a sermonizer. I gotta hear a word. I gotta hear a voice. So I went back to that prayer room and God started speaking. And I got a word tonight for somebody. Bible says as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. His disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. He anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. Verse 24, then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. One thing I know. Now I'm going to break it down to our language. All's I know, I was blind. I don't care what anybody else is saying. All I know is I was blind. I had a problem. I want to preach tonight. All I know. God's going to build somebody's faith in this place tonight. You've been down. You've been struggling. I'm telling you, I feel it so strong right now. My goosebumps are having babies. Come on, let's pray. God, over these next few moments, I'm asking the Holy Ghost to begin to minister to somebody in this house. They came in heavy. They're going to leave light. They came in down. They're going to leave up. They came in depressed, but they're going to leave with the joy of the Lord as their strength tonight. Put the words in my mouth that you would have them hear. We thank you for what you're going to do. If you believe it, clap those hands and give him praise. Amen. Lord bless you. You may be seated. God is a God that honors faith. We'll start right there. God does not honor denominationalism. God does not look on the church sign to determine if he's going to move. We got to get this mentality out that because we're Pentecostal, we've got leverage with God. That's a fallacy. God is no respecter of persons. He's no respecter of denominations. You want to know what heaven's going to look like? All nations, all kindred, every tongue. Here we go. There's going to be people that went to a other denomination than a Pentecostal church. They're going to make it to heaven. Now, let me follow that up before something I say gets misunderstood. If they were saved according to this book, Acts 2:38, lived in accordance with his word.
Amen.
There's going to be people that didn't have a UPC, ALJC, WPF, PAW, XYZ church that they could attend. But they had a hunger for God. They had faith in God. And God's going to honor their faith, fill them with the Holy Ghost. Amen. God honors faith. Faith is the currency of the kingdom. In the Old Testament, it was not a faith-based salvation. It was an obedience-based. It was ritualism. That's why you read the book of Leviticus, the book of Deuteronomy. It's just rules and rule. This is how this has to be done, and this is how this has to be done, and everything has to be done according to how God laid it out in obedience. They didn't have the Holy Ghost to help them live for God. So they had to abide by rules. But the Bible said that when Jesus came, he was going to take that law off of stone and he was going to put it in our hearts. And the Holy Ghost is going to continually lead us and guide us into all truth. Amen? And so the Bible says in Hebrews, without faith, it is impossible to please him. You can't, number one, you can't get saved without faith. It takes faith to believe. Number one, that he loves me, that he died for me, that he wants to turn my life around, because you can't see any of that. It takes faith to pray to a God that you can't see. And then it takes faith to act on that belief. It takes faith to come to an altar. It takes faith to lift your hands. It takes faith to go down in the watery grave of baptism. It takes faith to begin to praise, believing that God's going to fill you with the Holy Ghost and you're going to speak. Everything is about faith. But let me tell you this. It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter where they come from. It doesn't matter where they live, how much money they have, what they drive, what they smell like, or whether they spit white. All that matters is that they have faith. And God said, that is enough for me to move on their behalf. Is there anybody in this place tonight that can say, I believed and God responded to my level of belief? He saved me. He healed me. He provided for me. He made a way when there was no way. There is nothing that can contradict a personal experience. You can fill the room with naysayers. They can tell you every reason why this or that is wrong. But when it comes down to it, if you had an experience, their opinions can't change your experience. I remember an elder. He was an elder. He's old now. He was old then. He got the Holy Ghost years and years ago. And he showed up to work. And somebody began to tell him how that wasn't real. And how that was in the New Testament and in Bible days. And that don't happen no more. And he said, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I already got it. Come on, is there anybody in this house that you could say, I already got it? I don't know what I'm supposed to tell somebody when I've already experienced that cleansing power of the blood. I've already experienced the power of the Holy Ghost. I've already been sick and God healed me. All I know is that he did it. today. I want you to know tonight that God uses adversity to continually prove his power in your life. I wish I could tell you that God proved his power when you shouted at an altar. I wish I could tell you that God proved his power when you read his word or when you prayed. But that's not how God chose to reveal his power in your life. God chose the means of adversity, affliction, problems, situations you can't control. He chose through tears and through pain to build your faith. This is why the Bible says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. You realize that God, that's not speaking of figuratively the eyes of God. God is a spirit. But God is continually seeking opportunity to reveal his power and in somebody's situation. He's looking for someone who's sick that they don't have any alternative means to be healed. He's looking for somebody that's lost that can't save themselves. He's looking for somebody that don't have the finances, and so he could put groceries on the table, because by the means of adversity, is God going to just reveal, I am who I said I am? If I did it once, I'll do it again. If I made a way once, I just come to remind somebody that God did it once. I know he'll do it again. Touch your neighbor and say he'll do it again. Your adversity is not a sign of God's judgment. It's a sign of God's trust. See, when stuff starts happening, here's what we go. What'd I do wrong? I'm doing everything right. You would think I should be rewarded. Come on now. Y'all know I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you what you're afraid to say out loud. God, I've been living for you 30 years. All my life. Where's my sticker? I'm doing everything I know to do. Our mind starts saying we're being punished. Right? I did something wrong. Or this is what my kids did. Or I'm reaping. Listen to me. What'd they say? The disciples, those church people. You got to watch church people. It's what they said. Master, who sinned? This man was born blind. This is punishment. This is what Jesus said. This man didn't sin. Neither did his parents. I knew I could trust him not to get bitter at me. Until I met the exact moment in time where it was time to meet this need. God's going to trust that you're not going to get bitter. You're in the midst of your trial right now because God knew you. He could trust you. They got what they didn't have it 5 years ago, but they got it now. I can trust them through this trial. See, we think we got to trust God through the trial, but God's trusting you through the trial. He's trusting that you're not going to get bitter at him. He's trusting that you're not going to get mad at him. He's trusting that you're not going to get upset because of the hand that you've been dealt. Hear me, God trusts you. You're not facing what you're facing because God's mad at you. You're facing what you're facing because God's trying to do something in you.
And the only way it's going to happen is he's got to let adversity come. He's got to let affliction come. He's got to let problems come your way that you can't fix. Because if you could fix it, you wouldn't need him. If you could manufacture the result that you desired, then you wouldn't need to pray. You wouldn't need to call out on the name of Jesus. So he'll let something just come your way that you just sit here and go, God, I can't do it. Why do you think we raise our hands? Because we're surrendering. He can't put his hands on it until you take your hands off of it. As long as you're doing this and you're trying to manipulate and you're trying to fix, then you're preventing the hands of God from coming down and stepping in that situation. But when you say, I can't do it no more, you're sending heaven a signal for God to step in. I feel the Holy Ghost to step right in the midst of your trial and start taking some mud and start putting them in the eyes and start working a miracle on your behalf. Watch this. You cannot tell me, you cannot convince me that that was the first time Jesus crossed paths with that guy. Can't convince me. He had to wait on the right time. I just happen to believe he passed by himself. Wasn't the right time. He wanted to get the naysayers and the doubters. He wanted a point in time where the results were going to maximize the glory that he was going to receive. Sometimes God lets it get worse, because the worse it gets, the more glory he gets. Why do you think he doesn't rarely answer the first time you pray? That doesn't build faith. I don't build no faith. Faith is built through the process of time. When you just keep believing. When you just keep holding on to a word. This is the story I'll tell. My God did not fail. Listen to me. We're going to take a survey tonight. I want you to stand if God has ever failed you. By the process of what we see, we've all arrived at the same conclusion, that there's never been a time in your life that you could point to and say, that was a time where God let me down, or that was a time where God failed me. If he never failed you before, then what makes you think he's going to fail you in the future? He was blind, Brother Jamie. He couldn't see his answer. But just because he couldn't see him didn't mean he wasn't there. That's why they call it blind faith. It's because faith sees those things that are not as though they are. I can't tell you what your answer is going to look like. But you got to somewhere in your spirit start seeing your situation fixed even when it's not fixed. You got to see your situation turning around even when it's not turning around. You got to see a bank account going up even when it's going down. I'm talking to somebody tonight. You've been listening to your fear more than you've been listening to your faith. It's time to kick fear out the door and say, my God's never failed me. My God's never failed me. Hello, Borriake Yosoto. Blind Bartimaeus couldn't see Jesus. But it didn't stop him from crying out anyway. The hardest time to keep crying out for him is when you don't see him anywhere around. When you don't see the situation turning around. When you're getting more sick instead of better. When the job's getting worse than better. When everything is going the opposite of what you want it to go. That's the hardest time to cry out. But it didn't stop him from crying. Now, he didn't see his answer, but he knew he was there. Wouldn't that prophet tell that servant? He said, go tell me what you see. He come back. I don't see anything. Go again. Two words that'll change your life. Go again. Pray again. Praise again. Thank again. Shout again. Dance again. But my situation is, there's still no cloud. Go again. I don't see any rain. Go again. I don't see anything getting better. Go again. And every time that prophet would bow down and he began to pray until finally he came back and said, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. You better go tell Ahab, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. Let me tell you tonight, I hear the sound of miracles, signs, and wonders. I hear the sound of creative miracles. Let me tell you how revival's going to come to Wallace Ridge. These signs will follow them that believe. Touch your neighbor and say, all I know, he got his miracle. He got his miracle. People doubted before the miracle. Then people questioned after the miracle. You can't fix people, but you can fix yourself. I skipped a whole lot of dialogue. They started trying to chase around. Who did this? How'd this happen? There's no way to read it. Finally, they arrived at the fact that this was a sinner that did this miracle. You're always going to have scoffers. You're always going to have people to poke holes in your miracle. They finally showed up and said, well, this and that. He said, listen to me. I don't know what all y'all talking about. But all I know is I was blind. You can form your own opinion all you want. But I had an experience that changed my life. All I know is I didn't have eyes. But I'm looking at you right now. I've come to silence the critics tonight and to mute the voices of hell that's been messing with your mind. It's time to stir your faith and say, all I know is I used to be sick once, but God healed me. I used to be blind, but God put sight in me. I used to be lost, but God said, come on somebody, I got a testimony. I got a testimony. I got a testimony. Somebody shout, all I know. I got a testimony. You stay standing. What do you do when you get a word? When you get a testimony? Tell you what you're supposed to do with it. You're supposed to use it. You're supposed to use it. A testimony is not to be held. It's to tell. How do you think God builds faith in somebody else? One generation, the Bible says, shall praise thy works to another and declare his mighty acts. Now watch this. Why? What did he tell Peter? He said, Peter, I've prayed for you. Satan's desired to sift you as wheat.
But I prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. In other words, you're going to come out of your trial with a testimony. Don't hold that testimony to yourself, Peter. But use it for somebody else.
Maybe it sounded like this after the day of Pentecost. Peter, I don't know. You don't know what I've done. I'm a liar, Peter. There's no way God could forgive me. Let me tell you what happened to me. I denied the Lord 3 times. I lied about me knowing him. And he forgave me. And he filled me with the Holy Ghost. And if he did it for me, all I know, he'll do it for you. Testimonies are to be used for somebody else. I remember when I was evangelizing. I've told the story. My truck broke down. Blew the engine out of the truck. $15,000 for a new engine. Didn't have 2 pennies to rub together. God gave me a word. Said, if you'll pray for revival, as hard as you prayed for your truck, I'll take care of your truck and you'll have revival. I told that guy, find a used engine, do whatever you can. I didn't have any money. But I told him to do the repair. Because I just believed after I had a word from God that by the time it was time to pick up that truck, that I was going to have the money to pay for it. And it was over $6,000, somewhere around there, that was the bill. When he called and told me it was ready. Money came in those 5 or 6 weeks. Enough money to cover all of the repairs on the truck. God proved himself. I always wondered why I had to go through that testimony. Nobody wants to sign up for stuff like that. But here not too long ago, God brought to my memory why. Come on, Brother Jamie.
In 2022, my family and I, my wife and I heard from God. We went to our pastor and got confirmation. We came home at the end of 2022. I spent my first year last year of 2023 here at home full time here on staff at this church. I've seen a lot of great things come and go through my lifetime. I've heard a lot of powerful testimonies, but I've never had one, Brother Spanky, that I could say that is my own on this level. I started praying. I said, God, I said, how can I minister and preach to a people through something that I've never went through? I started praying for things for God to do for me. We bought a vehicle. I'm going to make it as short as I can. We bought a vehicle. We bought extended warranty. We dotted all of our I's. We crossed all of our T's. One thing after the other started happening to the vehicle. We would bring it in. They would replace. They would fix. They done great by us. Come toward the end of the year last year, we had a problem. Brought it to them and they said, you need a new motor. But the problem is you've done used so much of the extended warranty, you've gotten upside down on the car's worth and the extended warranty, what's left over that we can lawfully cover. And they were correct. We dug into it. I went to my man of God. I said, here's where I'm at. Here's what I've got to do. I cannot go and borrow $5 from the bank. I've been home trying to make everything start turning and making it right. You're talking about somebody that had a back up against the wall. I was in the corner and had nowhere to go. There was no way to make a way out of some way. It wasn't there. He said, we're going to pray about it, Brother Jamie. We're going to pray. And we went to prayer and We started sacrificing. We started doing everything that I knew to do. He called me one night in the prayer room and confirmed something I was feeling. He said, God said, if you will make good, tell them to go and put the motor in. Tell them to do the work. And God said he's going to show himself, was his words. God said he's going to show himself true and powerful to you. I said, all right. I made the call. I told them. They quoted us amount like of $10,000. It should have been $10 million. It wouldn't have made any difference to me. I said, I'm going to honor it. Do it. Put the motor in. We started working on some things. They found a different motor, quoted us about $6,000 that we was going to have to come up with. Do it. We're just going to work it out. We're going to pray. We're going to talk to God. And we kept on and we kept on and we kept praying. They started coming back with other numbers. And I went to them and said, I don't know what to do. We're praying. And all of a sudden, somebody come up and said, I just felt like hard to give you this. Two different times I had cash stuck in my mailbox of $250. Somebody come to me at a service anonymously, give me money out of in a cash in an envelope. Next time, somebody give me cash to give to me in town. And on and on and on it went. And I prayed. I said, God, I said, before the end of this time, I said, I don't want to have to leave anything in balance. Before the thing is fixed, I want to have every dollar in my name to pay for this bill. And it came on. She started coming down on the price. And at the end of it, we was going to owe to the tune of $4,200. I didn't have that amount. I kept being faithful. I paid tithes. I paid offerings. I gave missions. I done everything that I knew to do. She called and said, Mr. Crum, your vehicle is ready. I said, okay. All right, well, how much do we owe? And she quoted us the price. After from $10,000, it came down to some tune of right at $3,700 is out of pocket what we was going to have to come up with. And I'm sitting here and I'm going, no, 36. It was the final bill was $3,683. In my envelope, after everything is said and done, I had $3,700 in my envelope that I could go and give to them people and pick up the vehicle. Not $1 did I go that was unowed for that vehicle. I'll be able to stand behind a pulpit for the rest of my life and tell God how great He is. I'll be able to talk to a people and tell them how faithful God is. And I'm thankful for it in Jesus' name.
All I know. All I know. Hallelujah. 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 Come see Brother Jeremy, Sister Megan. Go get your girls, your little girls. I know the other one's over there. There's going to be somebody coming to Brother Jamie's life that's going to have a vehicle situation one day. And they're not going to have the money to pay for it. And he's got an all I know moment where he's going to be able to tell them, hey, if he did it for me, come on, I'm trying to bring to your memory some all I know moments. When a doctor couldn't do it. When a neighbor couldn't do it. When a friend couldn't do it. But you had a miracle. How long ago was that, Sister Megan?
The wreck.
They were little bitty. Y'all remember that prayer meeting? Most of y'all were here. I was in my office and I came out the door. Didn't know a thing that had happened. I mean, didn't know come here from Sikkim. All I see is a vehicle in the ditch, didn't even know whose vehicle it was. Nobody was around. I'm talking just happened. And you know how your brain starts going, what's going on here? What's happening here? I don't know what's happening. And all I see is little Cy, which he's next door, crawling through the shrubs, looking up at me. Then I start putting the pieces together. And then around the back, I don't even think you were out of the vehicle yet. Harper starts coming around the back. And now it's all making sense that this was bad. Parked still. They in the back or the middle? The middle. High and Asai and Harper was in the back. At 70 miles an hour? 75 miles an hour. Slammed in the back of that vehicle. When you get it, put it up there, Brother Aaron. Slammed in the back of that vehicle. The best we could tell, Cy and Harper out the back, flew out the back, destroyed it, should have been deceased by all accounts. Come out the back window. They've grown up a lot since then.
How old were they?
Little. 2 months in their car seats. People don't walk out of that. Kids don't get thrown out of that. Let me tell you what, this is just me. You can argue if you want, but this is just me. And I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I just happen to believe an angel stepped somewhere in the midst of that vehicle and snatched those babies out of that back window. All I know was that they probably shouldn't be here. They probably should have been damaged. So I tori hande kohe la baha. But God stepped in. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying there's going to be a situation in their future that they're going to be able to show some pictures and tell somebody that we walked out of here whole by the power of God. All I know is if his hand was on them, what's to say that God's hand won't be on you? He's a very present help in the time of trouble. If there's a situation right now in your life, you're saying, I need a miracle right now, won't you lift your hand? I don't care what it is. I'm not asking what it is. But you can honestly say, I need a miracle. I need a miracle. Step forward. Yo, come up here. Come up here, Brother Jeremy, Sister Megan. Y'all come up here. Brother Jamie, you and Sister Felicity, come over here, your family. Come on up on the platform. Raise your hand if you need a miracle. Raise your hand. I don't have all night. All I know, he did it for them. All I know, he did it for them. Now, put your hands down if you need a miracle. If God's ever done it before for anybody in here, lift a hand. He did it for all I know right here. All I know. All I know. Look across. All I see is some all I knows. And if he did it for every one of these, you give me one reason tonight why he's not going to do it again. You tell me one reason why he's not going to show up when he needs to show up. Come on, it's time. You got faith? Step out of your pew right now. Come on, you need a miracle? Step out of your pew.